Well, good morning again. It's good to be with you and take part in worship services to our Lord and Savior. Appreciate your presence. If you'd like to follow along this morning, I'm going to begin in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. If you'd like to follow along, it's a great chapter all to itself, but I want to pick out a couple of verses there and talk about it for a few moments. I appreciate your presence. And good song service. Appreciate the singing and the praise that we've had this morning. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. What's interesting about this, obviously, 2 Corinthians is the second letter Paul writes to this congregation. And it's been some time after its establishment. And like you read in the 1 Corinthian letter, they had a lot of questions, a lot of issues, a lot of problems, and they're still having to deal with it. And in this particular chapter, dealing with some of the things that's going on in their own mind, in their heart, and the way they look at things, and appreciating what has taken place for them as children of God. As you read in 2 Corinthians 5, let me just set forth verse 17 this morning as a thought. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And you wonder, this is the second letter that Paul writes to them after several years of being in congregation. And he's still having to take a very fundamental, basic approach to dealing with their understanding of how they see things. And as you read this chapter, you see that they are having some questions put to them. And of course, the Corinthians, as the Greeks, had different ideas and convictions and beliefs about the gods and how they could approach them. And when Christianity came along, it was a striking contrast to the one God. Jesus, his son, came into the world and died for our sins and was resurrected and ascended back into heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father on high. That's not the way the Greeks looked at life a lot of times. That wasn't the idea they had. And they thought that the greatest thought was what we could do here on this earth. Like for earlier in the chapter, verse 7, Paul has to tell them, remember, he said, we walk by faith and not what? Not by sight. He said, our service to God is one of conviction of the Lord and the revelation of things that he has given unto us. And sometimes they were being confused by this, as many of the others were. But I think this is an important one because I like just the way he just uses the word, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation, which is an astounding thought. You're a new person in the eyes of God. You're a new person. You've been born again. And you could just tell the way the things he's saying down through this fifth chapter that people were having some difficulties with it. The Christian life has a beginning. In other words, we're not born Christian. It's not taught that way. If you look over in 1 John, the 5th chapter, a passage that we know, we just read 1 John 5, verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who has begotten also loves him who is begotten of him. But you're not born a Christian. Neither are you born a sinner, which a lot of people have different ideas about that. Matter of fact, they're with me in 1 John, back up to the 3rd chapter. And if you look down at verse 4, it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, for sin is lawlessness. We know what sin is. And we don't attribute that to a newborn infant. Sin is going contrary to the very will of God. And as because of sin and life of sin, because of what man had done, we had to be born again. And that was the point he wanted us to see. And as a result, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Just the way he says it, let's begin in verse 17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Look at verse 20 also. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And verse 21 ends the chapter, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I like verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I just wanted to think about how that applies to us today and how we could think about that. If anyone is in Christ, they were a new creation. We understand somebody's baptized into Christ. They've been buried with Christ and have been raised to walk in newness of life. But that means a new life. They are a new person in the eyes of God. They are now a child of God. They are promised with eternal life through the blessings of God. But Paul still has to tell them these things, doesn't he? Verse 17, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. What things are that? I just wanted, just some thought that came to my mind. We're talking about a new beginning. If someone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And he's telling people who are members of the church there and have been members of the church for several years, and they've got to work through some things in their understanding and receive letters from him and read them and study and think about it and how it molds their idea of being a person who follows Christ. But when we talk about a new beginning, we're talking about our personal application today of what he's trying to get the Corinthians to see is that when we think about our life, past, present, and future, how we deal with that, understanding what he is just trying to tell them here. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And we understand that. Somebody's baptized into Christ, they're a child of God now. They learn and they struggle and they grow and they become experienced and knowledgeable. And later they can teach others. It's a life. They've changed their entire life. They live for a different purpose and a different reason. But so many times in our life, we let life get on top of us almost, and we forget that we were born anew. We were a new creation. But it's just amazing. He has to tell them, old things have passed away. Old things don't exist anymore. And I thought of an application of that would be for us. Let's let the past be the past. And it's difficult for many people to do that. Let the past be the past. How? By forgiveness. By the forgiveness of God. And there are people you said and talked to and their life is terrible. And I'm sorry for that. Let's believe regarding the past of things, mistakes, things done, even though we're children of God. He's having to tell children of God here, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then how do I deal with all the mistakes and the problems and the issues of my past life if I'm now a child of God? We do it by the very forgiveness of God. We recognize that. God knows just as well as you do all the problems that we have had in our past life. And the attitude should be look at my past life by the forgiveness of God. And that's so important. And the Bible's just filled with those. Go back with me to Psalms. Psalms 103. David just writes some beautiful thoughts here. Psalms 103. And we'll just look at some of the points that David struggled as much as anybody. I think you realize that. But let's see, Psalms 103. We just read, for example, well, let's start with verse 1. The attitude of David here, that this was written 1,000 years before Christ, and it ought to be a part of our thoughts as we, in our relationship, have God as our Savior. Psalms 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. David's writing some beautiful thoughts there. Just wonderful things that you and I can take in and think about our life. He's saying that about his own life here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, and forget not all of his benefits. We look at our past life, and we think about mistakes many times and things that have done wrong, things that have gone wrong, and we let them upset us to the point where somebody has to say, you can't change the past. We've got to move on. And we look at the future and we look at our past through the will and the word of God, the things that God has blessed us with. And we could read this whole chapter. Well, look down at verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And sometimes Christians will say, well, you don't know what I've done. Well, God does. And God was able to forgive you. Why would Christians be tormented by sins when we have a God who is willing to forgive us and look back on our past life and say, God's forgiven me of that. I'm moving on. I'm growing in him. There may be consequences, but I'm living with them through the faith of Christ. And then in the other direction, look with me over in First John again. We were reading there a few moments ago. In 1 John, we all know 1 John verse 7, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. Yep, we've got that one, don't we? Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We deceive ourselves if we say we have no sin? But verse 9 is the one I wanted to talk with you about. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. And we're just going to have to sit down and think about what is it that John wants us to understand here. Probably what we just read in 2 Corinthians 5, that old things have passed away. There are some issues in the Corinthians' lives they need to look back on and say, well, that's old. Old things have passed away. Just like in my life today, there are new creations. There are new beginnings that require us to look at the very things God offers to us, forgiveness. And let's move on, because there's not anybody who hadn't committed sin. And we've asked God for forgiveness. And maybe our past may not be what we would like for it to be, but allow the faith of God to be that which has changed our lives and allows us to move on into the future. And there were things there in 2 Corinthians 5 that Paul was having to tell him. Said, we walk by faith and not by sight. He said, you have to understand these things. We come to the point also where we look at the past by forgiveness. We have to start moving out to where we can forgive others also. Look with me in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And we read down about verse Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 30. Let's look at the last two, three verses there. Verse 30 of Ephesians 4. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed of the day of redemption. The revelation of the Holy Spirit, here is God's revelation. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't be the person who knows this and turns and does something else. That'd be grieving the Holy Spirit. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. we're going to have to do that, aren't we? We relate to people who are struggling just as much as we are. People who are children of God, people who believe in the gospel, people who want to do what's right, and we make mistakes and we live with that past life. Now he wants us to understand we must also offer that to other people. And I recognize that brethren get into it sometimes and that some won't speak to others and they won't go around them and things of that nature. Many are held back because of that. They're not growing as Christ would have us to grow. And we think of people who have made mistakes in their past life. Did you ever think that Moses and David and Paul, all three of them were murderers? Did you ever think of that? Think of it that way? What Moses did to make him flee, what David did was astounding. What Paul has done. But they received forgiveness. And God was able to use them. And we may not understand everything that God would have in mind for what we could, what God was using them to do. We've got to forgive some people. There's one thing I guess we can't forgive, is it? Over in Mark, the third chapter. Yeah, Mark, the third chapter, in verse 28. There's only one thing that we can't forgive, is it? And God doesn't forgive. Mark 4 and verse 28, assuredly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men. Boy, that's a lot of sins. Assuredly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter. Blaspheme, blapto, means to harm, and feme means to speak. So blasphemy means is destruction and harm by speech. Verse 29, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness. Not one time. It never will be. You speak in opposition to the revelation of the Holy Spirit and the things the Spirit has made known to mankind, and you're not going to live and abide by it, that will not be forgiven, because you're turning your back on the only thing that you can obtain, by which you can obtain forgiveness. But my thought is just, when you think of people who have made mistakes, when we look at the past, whether it's us or it's someone else, let's let the past be the past by forgiveness, by what God would have us to be, how he would have us to learn. We can forgive, and we should, because we've been forgiven. And we have never been wronged like mankind has wronged the Son of God. And yet he's forgiven us. That ought to be our frame of mind. That ought to be our disposition of coming to the Lord, as he would have us to live the way he wants us to live. And since he has forgiven us, we ought to be a forgiving people, ready to let the past be passed through the forgiveness of the Lord. Come back with me to 2 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Creation and new. Let me suggest to you, just as you think about it, let's let the present be a walk of trust in the Word of God. If we could let the past be the past through the forgiveness of the Lord, not just that we forget it, but that we address it and we face it as the Lord would have us to deal with it, but we forgive it. And when we forgive it, let's move on. We can do the present the same way. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Behold, all things are new. Not physically, but spiritually. That's the point he wants us to understand. In Ephesians, the second chapter, this great statement we've read, or we've quoted verse 12, Ephesians 2:12, many times. At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's bad. That's a bad verse for bad verse to read, isn't it? The next verse starts with, but at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. But now, let us walk in this present life in trust, faith. Trust in what has been revealed. And that, look at that past life. And I don't even know if you really would like to get into all of the things that what they were described as being aliens and strangers and having no hope and without God. But now, and we need to be that type of person that in our own lives, I live now by trust in and promises of things of the Lord. And it's got to be so important what we trust in, what we believe in, because what we're thinking is so very much a part of who we are. You know what Proverbs 23:7 says? It talks about, for as he thinketh in his heart, what? As he thinketh in his heart, so he is. So very much of us is what we're thinking. And I don't mean you slam your hand in a car door or something. I'm talking about the way you live every day, the way you look at life, the way you look at family, the way you look at the church, the government, the family, and everything about what are your thoughts as you think in your heart, so you are. Back in Proverbs, the fourth chapter, and we read down verse 23. You've read this one. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are what? Keep your heart, watch it, think about your own thinking, watch your heart with all diligence. Guard what you're thinking, for out of it are the issues of life. That's the way life's going to go for you. It's the way it's going to be. I mean, if I can live by faith and let the faith of the gospel handle my past life, now, certainly I can live that way. And let us be people now who let the present be a walk of trust in Christ, in service to Him. And we have to, because so much of what's happening in our life has to do with what we're thinking at the time. Look back in the New Testament, Luke, the sixth chapter. Down at about verse 43. Luke 6, verse 43, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Verse 44, for every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. And you know he's talking about us. He's not talking just about a tree. And here's his point in verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Why is that? For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Man, that's so important. About what we're thinking, why we're thinking that. What's on our mind today? We're servants of the Lord. We're striving to grow in the faith. Add unto our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. We're working toward that, and our thoughts are not what they're supposed to be. Jesus is saying, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. We are to be careful what we're thinking. We don't want to be in the opposite. 1 John 2 would be probably the best example. 1 John 2. We read verse 15, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, that's just, we can all understand that. I mean, you don't have no Greek or Latin. You don't have to, you can understand exactly what he's saying. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is in him. We have to have a serious think about our own thinking, don't we? If we're to recognize that we're going to let the past be the past through the forgiveness of the Lord, then we do the same thing now. Let the present be a walk of trust and confidence in Him. And putting His purposes, His goals, His words, His ideas first in our life, and we make decisions with regard to those. And how would it affect your life if you just started deciding, I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to decide for the Lord. That might get you in trouble. Over in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, there was one guy that did that very thing. Very famous. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 24, talking about Moses. Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing. He must have been thinking about it. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. In verse 26, esteeming, thinking, this is going on in his mind, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. He was walking by trust in what God had promised. He was looking at the things that God would have us to be. And because we've got to face this idea, the way we're thinking is we're either thinking like the world or we're thinking like God would have us think. And that people are to be able to recognize we're trying to live a life of the Lord, and people recognize that we're different. When Paul was before King Agrippa and Governor Festus in Acts 26 chapter, he's just telling them, this is why I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. And Festus just yells out, Paul, your much learning does what to you? It's making you crazy. It's making you mad, man. What's wrong with you? Paul wasn't thinking anything like the powerful officials at that time. When we think about a new beginning, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. They're a new beginning. And he's talking about your life, and there in 2 Corinthians 5, it's quite obvious that the brethren there had had the interactions with maybe the folks in town, and they're seeing that you don't do what you used to do. You're not part of everything that used to go on in town here. And you can just see, and that'd be a good study, just to study the verse by verse there for a while. But we're to be people who, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, walk by faith, not by sight. And I recognize to some degrees everybody's got faith. Everybody's got a belief. Everybody's got a think so about it. But I'm talking about as Christians, we walk by what we believe in the Word of God, not by what we see. And that'll change your life. It'll lead you in a different direction. It makes you associate with different people. It makes you think different thoughts. When it just says, and he's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. He's beginning to talk about what Paul was empowered to do as an apostle. But he is saying that the Christians are involved in that service of the ministry of telling people about their faith and telling people about the Lord. Let me suggest to you last of all. Back in 2 Corinthians, again, 5th chapter, we read verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who have reconciled us, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That, as God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. How important is that? This idea of reconciling, and we now are the vessel that holds the Word of God, and we should point people in that direction. Let me just suggest to you, let our future be a future of hope. Now, all things are of God. That's a good place to start with regard to our future. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. We began with God by what we call obedience of faith. Look with me back in Romans, the first chapter. This is how Paul begins his letter to the Romans. In Romans, the first chapter, we read down like verse 4. Begin there with me. Romans 1, verse 4, that He has declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead through Him. Verse 5, through Him we have received grace and apostleship for what? For obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. We begin in obedience with Him, but it was obedience of faith and following Him, of living like Him. The entire Christian life is this idea of a life of faith. That's what Hebrews 11 is all about. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's what leads us into the unseen. And Paul's having to make this fundamental lesson to these new Christians in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians 5, that we live by faith. Old and New Testament teaches that we're justified by faith. Faith is a total trust that we have in God, in the way we live our life. It's just the thought of how we think of God, as opposed to Mark the fourth chapter. Let's see, Mark the fourth chapter. I'll read down this great scene where the disciples are in the boat. Jesus is in the back of the boat and he's asleep. Verse 38, Mark 4 and verse 38. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" That's some odd thoughts there, isn't it? If he's asleep, he obviously doesn't care. No. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" I mean, when you really get down to a lot of this living the life by faith, it is the opposite of being people of fear. That's exactly what Jesus was wanting them to understand. And so many times, you know, we've got brethren who are upset. The world is going crazy. They're bent out of shape. They're in bondage to, fear and doubt and anxieties and frustrations. And we need to stop and think about what we are thinking. Let's let our past life be a life of forgiveness. Let's live our life right now as a walk of trust and faith in the Lord. And let's let the future be through hope. The hope of the gospel. Blaise Pascal once said, "In faith, there is enough light for those who want to believe and enough shadows to blind those who don't." Well, that's such a great point. If we want to see the truth, I think we can. And there are every reason in the world that so many people don't want to see the Bible. They don't want to see the gospel of Christ. But I think that's enough for now. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, again, he starts off, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Have you begun a walk in the service of God? In other words, have you a faith that's developed to the point you would say, "I believe He is the Son of God. I believe He is the Savior." And then begin your life of obedience to Him, being baptized into Christ, being lifted out of the watery grave to walk that newness of life. Or maybe as Christians, sometimes we've lost the joy of the hope that we have, lost the joy of maybe what we were doing in our obedience to the gospel of Christ. We need to think about this idea of the forgiveness and the trust and the things He has given unto us. One of the greatest applications of faith, I guess one of the basic things about faith, first of all, would be letting the world not worry us to the degree that it worries so many other people. But lesson is yours. Jesus has inspired the apostle to write these wonderful words for us, and I hope they've been beneficial to you. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, we extend to you heaven's invitation. Maybe you're a child of God and you need the prayers of the brethren. You need someone just to talk to and help you out. We'd be more than happy to talk to you at any time. If you're subject to heaven's call, would you please come as we stand and sing?